Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this cold Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Super Bowl and all things Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, how are we doing today? What's going on?
I am delightful this morning. How are you guys?
We are delightful as well, Corey, and I will go on record saying I picked the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl before the game over the weekend, but I have to tell you, I did not anticipate it going down the way it went down yesterday. 31-9, that defense holding Kansas City to without a touchdown in the game. How surprised were you that Tampa Bay was as dominant as they were?
Well, I was surprised. I picked the Chiefs. I wasn't convicted. I really struggled with this game because I kept thinking about the Bucs defensive line, and I was like, how much is the Bucs defensive line going to be able to dominate this football game? And that was, you know, one of my very biggest keys, and I'm not surprised that they dominated. I am surprised at how devastatingly they dominated that game. Wasn't Mahomes hurried 29 times?
Yes.
On like 46 throws? I mean, I think I tweeted in the third quarter, there's not enough ice and ibuprofen in the world for Patrick Mahomes tonight. He was retreating every time he took the snap. There was never a time where he could just set up and throw the football. For the Bucs to hold that team, and I know they were without two starters in the offensive line, but to hold that team without a touchdown is ridiculous. I'll overstate something probably, but to me it's one of the great defensive performances in Super Bowl history. I don't know if it's the best ever. I'd have to go look, but they were devastating up front, and then those linebackers can just really, really run. It was, you know, I thought Mahomes would will them into the game in the second half, and I know he was injured as well. They couldn't do it. They got physically whipped at the line of scrimmage, both sides.
No, I don't think you are overstating it. Robbie said that earlier. I don't think you are when you consider, you know, this Chiefs offense and what it has done over the last few years.
Devastating offense.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, offensive line injuries, huge part of it. But, yeah, to your point.
If you held the greatest show on turf without a touchdown in the Super Bowl, what would people be saying about Belichick?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So to your point there, and I'm getting this from our Nate Taylor the game story here. So it was 29 of 56 dropbacks. That's the most of any quarterback in Super Bowl history. He was pressured. Now here's another stat to go with that, which I think you have to put some blame on Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. 92% of his dropbacks, he had five guys protecting him. Like,
yep.
How do you not switch up there?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that I was going to get to is, you know, and we've seen this with the Titans for years, you know, where they end up with these two and three man routes at times, which, you know, can be maddening, but you've got to protect the quarterback. And if you can't protect him with five, you've got to protect him with six, or you've got to protect him with seven. And I know Travis Kelce is an unbelievable weapon, but he's not a weapon if the quarterback can't get him the football. And their failure to adjust to bring in extra protection. There was one play where I remember they brought in Gronk in motion, the Bucs did, and he came in motion, came to the line, set up, and picked up Shaq Barrett, and Brady threw to Fournette for like 8 yards, just like bang. And I'm like, see, it's simple. It's really not that hard. You count how many guys are up front, and you come back and get them. And if you can't block them with five, you got to block them with more. I love Andy Reid. I think he's a brilliant play caller and a great head coach. But this was not his best game. And their stubbornness to the way they do things and having all those weapons out there was Wizent Hunt-esque last night.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's a word.
Yeah. Corey Curtis
got
from
Munson'd.
News 2. Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, we've got this up today as our poll question at 102.5 mm-hmm. The Game on Twitter. I mean, Brady has won seven Super Bowls, obviously has been to 10, in a league where basically everyone is designed to go 8-8. Mm-hmm. Is he the greatest team sport athlete that we've ever seen? I know this question is difficult to answer. There's a lot of different sports
it
and
is.
Different eras that you've got to factor into it. But in your opinion, is Tom Brady the greatest team sport athlete of all time?
You know, I struggle with this one a lot. I'm a Chicago guy, so I'm gonna be biased, you know, from the get go. I mean, because Michael Jordan is amazing, you know, 6 for 6, and the team was just absolute garbage when he got there. But basketball is different from football because one guy can make such a difference. And we also would have to bring up LeBron in that category as well. I mean, he's been to 10 finals and he's won it with 3 different teams.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. But now Brady is one of only 2 quarterbacks to win it with 2 different teams. You know, I think Belichick's a really good head coach, but I also think he had the greatest quarterback of all time. As bizarre as it sounds, I don't think Brady's ever gotten the credit in that scenario that he deserves because everybody's wanted to give it to Belichick. Belichick's won 1 playoff game in his entire career without Tom Brady. One. And I think he's had 2 winning seasons his entire career without Brady, okay? And I don't care where he's coached before. If he's the genius, if he's the greatest ever, he's the greatest ever, okay? Brady is a huge part of that Belichick success. Brady was a huge part. You just see this last year how even in his older years, he elevated an undermanned offense because that offense has not had pieces for years. I mean, even getting to Super Bowls where we questioned the pieces that they had. And football is the ultimate team sport. You know, you got 50 plus guys. You've got, you know, 11 going on each side. And, you know, for one guy to go to that many games and win as many as he did. And I guess the other thing that keeps getting me now is the longevity. The longevity is absurd. And no matter how much I don't want to give it to Tom Brady or Michael Jordan because I'm a Michael Jordan guy, I'm leaning more and more in that direction because, you know, what he's doing is ridiculous. Now, I'll say this as well. I really liked this Tampa team last year and the talent that they had. I just didn't like the quarterback throwing 30 interceptions. So I thought Brady had a chance to win the Super Bowl this year with this team. And I think Gronk said before the game, it's the most talented team he's ever been on. And he might be right. I mean, they've got way more offensive weapons. They didn't even utilize 2 of their weapons last night.
Yeah.
And they still put up 30 points. So it was pretty spectacular. And he's pretty amazing. I mean, I said they won the game because they kicked their tails at the line of scrimmage, but he deserved the MVP. He was really good. He threw the ball really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't have hated if Devin White got it. But
Devin White had a spectacular postseason. Oh my gosh, he was really good.
Well, that's the thing. It will get lost because of Brady, but I mean, you know, whatever. The rest of the Bucks will take it. But like you said, that's a very talented team.
Yeah, it is.
Best pass rush in the league. Those linebackers, they were able to just let them be and roam space. And most teams can't do that against the Chiefs, but they could.
They have the speed. I mean, David and Devin White had the speed to patrol sideline to sideline. And every time they tried any of that bubble stuff, they got swallowed up. I mean, it looked like Brett Kern getting decapitated out there with Devin White going sideline to sideline.
Brett Kern was sitting there in the stands just like, oh, man, I almost juked out Devin White.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, guys. You can deal with that guy. So pass rush obviously is one of the big takeaways from this game. And with the local professional football team, Corey, we've been talking about so many different names, including Shaq Barrett.
Yeah.
If you're John Robinson, give me your top, maybe like your top 3 or if you've got a top tier of whatever number that you think that they really have to go after.
Well, I think they got to draft one and they got to sign one. That's my feeling because I think it'd be too expensive to sign 2. And I don't know how much money they're going to have to really sign one, guys. I mean, they're going to have to move some money around because they're going to be up against it. And I don't have we just talked about this last week at work, like for 2 days, and I don't have my list of available players in front of me. But there's Ngakoue, there's Judon, both from the Ravens. Who are some of the other guys?
Leonard Floyd's out there.
Leonard Floyd, okay.
Shaq Barrett.
Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, Bud Dupree.
Shaq Barrett. Bud Dupree. Okay, Bud Dupree is a match for this defense, okay? And he's a guy who's a distressed asset, which is something that Patriot people like because of the knee injury. But he is a big physical guy who can set the edge and still rush the passer. I think Judon fits that category as well. I think those are both guys who are matches. You know, Leonard Floyd is a guy who underachieved for years in Chicago and then broke out with the Rams, which is great. But, you know, they've also got Aaron Donald over there.
Yep.
Which helps out a little bit. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, how productive is he going to be for you? And I don't know if Leonard Floyd is a set the edge guy. But so from my aspect, I like Bud Dupree a lot. I don't know what the Steelers' intentions are or what his intentions are, but him and Judon, and look, I mean, Ngakoue's, you know, I would wonder why Ngakoue's on his fourth team, but we know he can get there. And again, I don't know how much any of these guys are going to cost. And so you're going to have to weigh that. And that's one of the reasons I like Dupree is because I think his cost is going to be down. And this team's going to have to find a way to fit 8 pounds of sausage into a 6 pound tube.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right. Heck of a performance. Congratulations, by the way, to Bruce Arians,
yes,
who's now the greatest head coach of all time because he's one for one with Tom.
That's right. Exactly.
Got 100%.
100% winning percentage. Corey Curtis from News 2.
He never lost the Super Bowl with That's Brady true. Like Belichick.
That does. Is true. Take that, Bill. Bruce Arians,
yeah,
getting it done. Corey Curtis.
Rings and stick them.
That's right. Corey Curtis.
Hey, nice sausage reference.
That was good.
Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago.
Yeah.
Start calling
You're Abe Froman.
Do you guys get that reference? Porth
yes.
has no idea.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes.
All right. We're trying to teach the millennials, Corey.
There we go.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexler. Appreciate you, Corey.
Later, guys.
When we come back, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, you heard Corey throw out Matthew Judon's name there. He had some comments about the Titans over the weekend. This rivalry between the Titans and Ravens getting spicier by the day. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like a chance to go to the Preds game tomorrow night as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, listen for your cue to call later this hour, and you'll have your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to be in the building tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So make sure you're listening all hour long for that cue to call and for your opportunity to win. So, Joe, we had Corey Curtis on in the last segment from News 2, and a name potentially brought up as a free agent that the Titans could pursue is Matthew Judon of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, he has been a very good player, has played very well against the Titans at times as well. And ever since the Titans knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs last season, there has been a war of words going on. We've heard the Titans make comments. We've seen the meetings at midfield in Baltimore on the logo. Harbaugh and Vrabel getting into it. The Ravens get their payback and win the game last month against the Titans to send them home in the playoffs, and there's been talking going on by both sides ever since. And Judon did an interview with CBS Sports over the weekend and talked about the rivalry with the Titans and had some strong words about the way the Titans have handled this. Here's what Matthew Judon of the Ravens had to say.
Can you get into the rivalry, the real hate that you guys have going on with the Tennessee Titans? I mean, this is great stuff. Going back to last postseason, this year, stomping on the logo, regular season, you got the best of them this year in the playoffs, but there seems to be some real intense dislike between you and the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel and company.
Yeah, I think it's a they started it thing. You know, you win games and you lose games in the NFL, and that's happened. It's going to continue to happen until we stop playing football. But they just was like some bad winners. And I don't even know how you could be a bad winner. You already won the game. Like, you got to – they wanted to win a press conference. They wanted to win the media. They wanted to win, like, everything. And everything was – everything they was doing was to put us as players and our organization down. So, them breaking it down on our logo, and then after, like, Coach Hard tried to get them off their logo, like, them, like, talking trash to them, tell them talking to about us in the media and after they won both game and stuff like that. So shoot, we just gave them a taste of their own medicine, and then they was being babies about it. It was like, well, I don't know why they didn't shake our hands. But well, for the last two games, y'all haven't shook our hands. I don't know why they did that on our logo. Well, for the last two games, that's what y'all did on our logo. And so they was just acting like babies about it.
So that was Matthew Judon of the Ravens, Ravens linebacker, calling the Titans a bunch of babies for the way things have transpired after the Ravens beat them in the playoffs, and the talking that's been going on and the whining about the logo, all this other stuff. What do you think of those comments there from Matthew Judon?
Well, first of all, Porth, do you have the next thing easily accessible? Because it's hilarious if you listen to that whole thing. When they get to, and how about the Titans? And he'd be, well,
when he talks about being a free agent.
I'd rather hear it than paraphrase it. But basically, he's like, yeah, the Titans idiots, I hate them, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I mean, you know, if I'm on their team, I'm on their team. You know? But, I'm telling you, more than anything, of course he exaggerated everything, like no one shook hands. That's not true. They shook hands.
I don't remember the Titans talking a whole lot in the media either, like about the Ravens specifically.
Well, okay, after the playoff, here's what happened in Baltimore last January. One, I was in the tunnel as everybody was coming in. Now, I'm sure this is probably just like caught on camera and got social media.
Is this like the Tajay Sharp thing?
Well, that's also part of it. But first, like Byard, for sure, and some other guys screaming in the tunnel, Big Truss, yeah. Big Truss. You know, I mean, they were enjoying it. They were talking. Now, the Ravens talked before the game, too. Let's not forget that. You know, the whole... you know, Derrick Henry thing, and then Henry gets a little shot in on that. Yeah, the Tajay Sharp, I think that's got to be a big part of this. It has to be, because that was stupid. I mean, I was sitting in that room like, really? You're doing this right now? It was Derrick Henry was coming up for his press conference, and Tajay Sharp gets up there and basically does, if anybody remembers the Mark Ingram press conference.
About Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he has this whole thing, Big Truss, woo, woo, all this stuff, right? So Tajay Sharp gets up there and like does the same thing, makes fun of it in introducing Derrick Henry.
And you could see Derrick Henry's face like, ah.
Yeah, he's kind of like, hey, Tajay, can I just come up and, you know, answer questions? But so, I mean, that was probably the biggest example of them talking trash. The logo thing, and again, it's like the Harbs talking trash. Okay, it was Malcolm Butler. It was one guy.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler I didn't see anybody else talking trash to Harbaugh, but it's like this. Obviously, they had a bad taste in their mouth. And they were resolved to go after it. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Some bad winners.
Then he's like, I don't even know how to describe bad winners, but they're bad winners.
Yeah. Tajay Sharp was a bad winner last year.
He was.
There was no need to do that.
A winner, and he was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right. Maybe they missed him this year. Maybe we talked about receiver depth.
Yeah, it worked out well
but,
in Minnesota.
But it's funny. I mean, hopefully this can continue to be a good rivalry. They don't play next year, do they? Do they play next year in regular season?
No.
They don't. Yeah.
Maybe another playoff
matchup.
That's
disappointing.
AFC title game. Now that the Chiefs are also Rams. Yes. Has-beens.
Has-been Kansas City Chiefs out there. It was amazing, though. Like, you get to the next part of it, and they're talking about, you know, the Titans being in the market for pursuing pass rushers. He's like, well, you know, the quote is, if I'm on that side of the rivalry, I'm on that side of the rivalry coming from Judon. It's pretty amazing. So, look, I don't know if Judon is going to be, you know, a guy that the Titans look at. I mean, I've seen different reports out there of what his contract could look like. I've seen reports that he could get a four-year, $62 million contract. I mean, he's a guy that I don't know if I'd be willing to pay that much money for. I mean, he's good. I don't know if he's that good. So, I don't know what the interest level is going to be like from the Titans on that part of it, but it would be very fascinating to see Matthew Judon play for the Ravens, say what he just said, and then come in the locker room the next year. I mean, I don't think it would be a huge deal, but it would be very funny.
Come in here. Guys, now I'm going to teach you how to win.
We're going
to
win correctly.
I'm going to teach you how to win with class in yes. here, okay? That's the funny thing. Is like
Ryan Tannehill, when you win, you just run off the field. You don't come and shake anybody's hand. You just go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the funny thing, too. It's like, well, they're bad winners, and then it's like basically admitting that they were also bad winners to teach them a lesson. Well, you didn't shake our hands. We're not shaking your hands.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, buddy.
So, basically, next January, Judon is going to be in a Titans uniform stomping on the Ravens logo in yeah. Baltimore when they play again in the playoffs.
That would be fun. That would be something. That would
Did
be
we just have a mute?
I mean, I don't think that
Quick
counts.
Save. It does.
I don't think it counts because I actually said the word still that I was trying to say. I didn't say like three words into the mute and then unmute. So
still,
I don't think it counts.
It counts. Okay. It counts.
All right.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, is he being watched by a teacher? He's crying, oh, they started it. That's why we did it, and they were babies.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think it's a they started it thing. Okay. Also, have you heard two wrongs don't make a right, Matthew?
Yeah, come on, Matthew. Let's be a little better. Be a little bit more mature. In all seriousness, NFL needs more of this. I love two teams just yelling back and forth at each other through the media. It doesn't happen anywhere near as much as it should.
Yeah.
Like, was
what would be the most hateful? And I mean, well, he talked about this too in that interview. Sorry. About how, like, we hate, he was like, we hate the Bengals, really hate the Browns, and, like, whatever he said about the Steelers. Like, I want to eat their souls or whatever he said about them.
Their kneecaps, Dan Campbell.
Yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Well, does Matthew Judon think that Antoine Winfield Jr. is a bad winner?
I don't know, but that was awesome.
Because last night. He got the better of Tyreek Hill and did the
peace sign?
The peace sign in front of Tyreek Hill Tyreek Hill did the peace sign to him in November.
And he got flagged for it, which is even better.
He enjoyed the heck out of that.
he yelled I mean, there to me, for a long time.
Yeah, he did. Hey, you know what? You earn the right to talk. So, like, the Titans going down the tunnel saying big trust or whatever, who cares? Again, like, Tajay Sharp, because it wasn't funny or cool, like, it was just
it was
dumb.
Pretty awkward.
It was lame. And that I think that's got to be a big part of this. That was like, okay, how did you play 8 snaps in this game? Come on, go.
Who knew that Tajay Sharp would be the straw that stirs the drink of the Titans and Ravens rivalry?
And then move on to me and leave this mess. No, I agree. We need more of this. I mean, there's not many bitter, nasty rivalries right now, really.
This is some old school stuff. I mean, the jawing back and forth between Eddie George and Ray Lewis and. It's not to that level, but we don't get anything anymore that approaches that level. We need a little bit more hostility in professional sports.
Maybe more.
Where are the rivalries gone?
More violence, more cannibalism.
More violence in football.
Yeah. Dan Campbell's going to bring it all back for us.
Need some more.
Those Lions-Packers games.
Going to be vicious.
Biting off kneecaps.
Oh, man.
Stay away from Aaron Rodgers'
Watch out,
kneecaps.
Aaron. Yeah.
League MVP Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Are we surprised That's that right. Derrick Henry didn't get a single vote?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Josh Allen ahead of Mahomes, though.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
Yeah.
I saw our guy, Dan Orlovsky, who, by the way, I questioned his analysis that Mahomes is going to have his best game ever.
Apparently, he's right.
I mean, a good game would have helped. But he had the tweet over the weekend, oh, my God, Mahomes came in third. Watch what he does Sunday. Well,
yeah. He was kind of on an island yesterday.
It's hard to do stuff when you have to turn left or right immediately after back, you know, taking the ball.
He looked like someone on Madden who just runs like 20 yards back and just chucks it. That's the way Mahomes looked at times last night.
There's one time they had the ball on like the 10, and he literally ran back to the 35. Yeah. I was like, huh, you're going really far back there, man.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You had to. Didn't work out so well for the Kansas City Chiefs last night. I love this Titans-Ravens rivalry. I need more of this. I need them to meet again next year in the playoffs, so hopefully – they can cooperate and make that happen. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Nashville Predators. Two huge games coming up in the next couple of days between the Preds and the defending Stanley Cup champions, Tampa Bay Lightning. How do we judge the Predators in these next two games? What are we looking for in the matchup against Tampa Bay? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Our first edition of that took place last Friday. We'll have it for you again coming up on this Friday. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, coming up in about 10 minutes when we get started at 8:45. So you'll have your opportunity to participate here in roughly 10 minutes for Preds Pick to Click. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, Joe, next two games coming up against the defending Stanley Cup champions. You don't have to look far in the rearview mirror to look at the Predators against Tampa Bay. They played them last week, a 4-3 loss, a 5-2 loss to Tampa Bay last week. Obviously, Tampa Bay playing really well right now. We know how talented they are. Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, Vasilevsky, all the different pieces that they have. I mean, they're just rolling right now. 7-1-1 on the season. First place in the Central Divisions and a goal differential of plus 14 at the moment, which leads the division in that regard. The Predators in 7th right now in the Central, 5-6 on the season, a goal differential of minus 7. So as you look at this game, obviously going to be a tough back-to-back for the Predators here. What do you want to see, not only just from a result standpoint, but from a style of play, from the way the Predators approach these two games against Tampa Bay?
Well, I would say just you got to play. I mean, like, I can't look at this and like there's no style of play or there's no like carried the play for two periods or whatever that at this point is good enough. I mean, to me, like you have to start with the results. Like you got to get 2 points out of this to me. I mean, that's, you know, get a point a night or win one of them outright. And I think you'll feel okay. You know, you're treading water, you know, if you're 6-7 with Detroit coming in. If you go pointless in these two, I mean, that's, you know.
You're talking about being 5-8 at that point.
Talking about being 5-8 at approaching the quarter mark of the season. You know, because, yeah, obviously I can do math here. 13 is a quarter of 52. So you're right around the quarter mark of the season, 5-8. And, like, no one can sit here and say, well, how could you not beat the Lightning? They are clearly the superior team. They are the measuring stick, and they are playing like it. And you've seen it up close already. But I guess to me, you just have to – I think you have to just be as mistake-free as possible. I mean, you need great goaltending because they're going to get opportunities. You can do everything right. They're still going to get opportunities. But do everything right, you know? Like, don't give them the gimmies. I mean, that's part of it, but you're going to need great goaltending, I think, to steal a game here.
Yeah, and look, you can't have these lapses. Like, Ryan Porth, we talked about this over the weekend on Preds Insiders of it feels like lately they've had these 10 to 12, sometimes 20 to 25-minute lapses where they can't get anything done. They can't hold on to the puck. They're turning it over at the blue line. They're giving up odd man rushes going the other way, and we've seen it. If you do that against Tampa, you're going to find four or five of them in the back of your net. It doesn't matter who's in goal.
Well, that's what Tampa Bay did to you last week.
Yeah.
When they played two games in Tampa, they had a couple of periods where they did not play all that well, and the Tampa onslaught was way too much for them. And they dug themselves a hole, and it was too much for them to climb out of it. So this Preds team just can't afford to really have those lapses and have to come from behind time and time again. I mean, they've spent, what, like 2 minutes all season leading? I'm exaggerating.
It's like 30, what, 40-something, right?
It's barely in the 40s, yeah.
But it's not a lot of time at all with them holding a lead on the scoreboard, which this team is not really tailor-made to be able to come back every game. You know, they did it last Thursday in Florida, but they certainly weren't able to do it Friday night in Florida. You know, the team a couple years ago when they won the President's Trophy, they came back a lot. But yep, that team was a lot deeper offensively than this one.
It was. And you're talking about a comeback the other night, which was great. It also took a superhuman effort from Philip Forsberg. I mean, he took 5 points from one guy to kind of drag you along there. So you can't rely on that every night. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, this week is, or Wayne, his name's at the bottom, but Wayne texting in, this week is huge for the Preds. If they lose 3 out of 4 or all 4, they can kiss the playoffs goodbye. I mean, we are in a situation now where, you know, you're looking at it, you're 5-6, you're 7th in the division right now, and you're hoping, like, with the way that things have shaken out, in the division, that you would at least be in a position where point-wise you're in a higher position. Like Dallas has played two fewer games than you. Tampa Bay has. Carolina has. Florida has. All these teams have played two fewer games than you have, and you're still in seventh place in the Central Division. That is not a good spot to be in if you're the Predators. So these next two games against Tampa are massive. I agree. If you can find a way to get 2 points out of it, you feel great. But that goes back to what we talked about earlier in the season. And when you have opportunities against Detroit and Chicago, you've got to win. Like, you have to collect every point you can collect against those teams. And you've got two opportunities against Detroit later this week. That needs to be 4 points for this group. There's really no excuse otherwise.
Yeah. So if you have a 6-point week and you are now sitting, you know, above 500, okay, you feel better. If not, if it's anything short of that, look, first loss of this year, someone's going to say, yeah, blow it up. You know, everybody's ready to jump all over that. Not everybody. Some fans are ready to jump all over that, and it's premature. But if you have another bad week here, I mean, you really start getting the discussion of, okay, what's the fix? Is it time to just start thinking long term and selling off? And again, that also has to do with individual performance. Now, we don't know how long Ryan Johansson's out, but it could be a bit.
Yeah.
Before he was hurt, and then we'll see when he comes back. But, I mean, he's a guy who is always going to be revolving around that discussion if he plays like this.
He is, and this is a crucial stretch for the Predators coming up here. And, you know, the other thing is this. Like, in press conferences now, you can start to sense a little bit of frustration from John Hines. Like, we talked about the penalty part of it last week. I asked him about the offense after Friday night's game, and he's like, you know, when you have players, and he used the word erratic, when you have players who are as erratic as they've been so far, it's hard to find any consistency whatsoever. You're starting, I think, to sense some frustration from the coaching staff with the players that they have and with the lack of consistency that they've displayed. And look, let's be honest, that's been the talking point the last 2-3 years with this group, is the lack of consistency. Tampa Bay, they're not going to win every night. They pretty much play the same way every night. That's not the case with this Predators team. John Hines talked about that, and that's been fascinating. He's brought that up on more than one occasion as of late, and I'll be interested to see if you can see signs of that frustration continuing to build as they move forward here.
John Hines seems like a guy with a really long fuse, you know,
yeah,
very even keel and methodical and pragmatic, and I'm trying to think of some other big words I can throw on there, but very, very level. And I agree, any sort of comment or even just inflection of his voice where it's obviously he's frustrated, that to me means something, because I think it takes a while to get there. Now, last year he came right in and did some – there was some ice time taken away and things like that. It didn't take him long, but that still was – to me, that was a new coach kind of trying to figure things out. And
trying to set the tone too, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. So now, yeah, I think he's kind of looking at this like a lot of us do too. Like, why is that guy – not doing what he's paid to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be – that's been the story with this team. And until that part changes, it's going to be hard to find any consistency whatsoever. So the Preds taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And speaking of the game tonight, it's now that time of the day for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you can participate in Preds Pick to Click, your goal scorer of the game for tonight's contest between the Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if you get it right, you win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the score!
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, and we have a listener with their opportunity to guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. And let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring on Ronnie from Nashville, who is today's participant in Preds Pick the Click. Ronnie, thanks for joining us. What's going on?
Not too much. Just driving around working.
Absolutely. So, Ronnie, Preds taking on the Lightning tonight, the defending Stanley Cup champion. Your Preds Pick to Click for tonight's game is who? Who do you think scores?
Well, I'm sure y'all are tired of hearing this name, but I got to go with my guy, Forsberg.
Forsberg, that's a good pick. I mean, he's been the guy that's 11 points, 11 games this year. Ronnie, I think that's a good pick. Good luck to you tonight.
All right, thanks, sir.
Absolutely. So Ronnie going with Philip Forsberg, and Forsberg off to a great start this year. As we know, he is going to be a very popular pick in this competition. But I will say, from a listener point of view, it's been a minute since we've had Philip Forsberg. So looking forward to see if he can respond tonight with a goal.
I mean, Ronnie, I'd be more impressed if, you know, you picked, like a Rocco Grimaldi and got it right. But you know what? You're trying to win here.
That's what it's about.
So it's amazing. How could we have ever had one of these and no one picked Forsberg?
We've had a couple where no one's picked Forsberg.
Crazy.
But you're trying to play the odds, right? Like, he can't score every night.
Yeah. But he's on one right now.
He is on one. So, Preds Pick the Click. Joe Rexrode, you have nailed four of these so far this year. Ryan Porth is on the board with one. Robbie Stanley, goose egg, zero thus far. Joe Rexrode, would you like to begin the competition today? And I will say, I'm not going last today. I will go second.
Well, you go first. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. I'll go first.
You go first. I feel bad for you.
Oh, thank you.
Let's get you out of that goose egg.
We got to that point already in the season. That's great. I am going to take Victor Arvidsson today. I still like a lot of what I'm seeing. He's on a different line now, obviously, without Ryan Johansson. But I think Victor Arvidsson, and I'm going to call my shot and say that it's on the power play today. Victor Arvidsson scores a power play goal for the Nashville Predators tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Robbie Stanley finds his way onto the board in this competition.
I tried to help Arvidsson the other night. Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Like with Deschene, who owes me something.
Nothing worked the other night. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Ryan Porth, your Preds Pick to Click for tonight. We're going to make Rexrode go last.
That's fine.
Would be who?
Give me Ryan Ellis.
Ooh, going to defenseman.
Going with Ryan Ellis. He's currently on a 4-game point streak. He scored in the previous 2-game series against Tampa Bay.
He did.
Going to say he does it again tonight.
So Ryan Porth going with Ryan Ellis. A little Ryan fan club there. So Ronnie has selected Philip Forsberg. I'm going with Arvidsson. Ryan Porth with Ryan Ellis. Joe Rexrode, your Pred Pick to Click for tonight against Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm actually going to circle back to Deschene.
Okay.
I still, you know, just we've talked about it all year. Like how he's playing. He's gotten over the hump. You know, he's gotten the monkey off his back with the 2-goal game. And obviously the game-tying goal that ended up leading the overtime win. No one had a great night the next night. I think a refreshed Deschene on a line that's going to, you know, obviously be very important. We assume Ryan Johansson's going to be out for maybe a little bit of time here at least. Give me Deschene. And if I'm right again,
then
when he's on the show later this week, I don't know, like what he's got to, I don't know, like sing some songs for us,
virtual
like
high
guitar
five
or
maybe.
Something.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're going Matt Deschene again tonight against Tampa Bay. So to recap, Ronnie, our listener, taking Philip Forsberg, Robbie Stanley going with Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Porth with Ryan Ellis, and Joe Rexrode selecting Matt Deschene in today's edition of Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Gentlemen, good luck. We wish you great success in this competition.
Good luck to you. It's way too far into this. Just like the Preds, I need to pick it up. You know, Robbie,
yeah, I'm kind of for a guy who spends a lot of time around hockey, for me not to have gotten this yet is a little embarrassing.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's still early-ish.
It's still early-ish. Only 25% of the season almost done, so we'll see if I can pick that up. Also today, taking your submissions all show long for Love Week here on 102.5 The Game. And today's story is this. We would like to hear your worst first date experience. Text us in to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. And we've had some doozies submitted already on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texts in, says, in college, I worked at the Cooker on Murfreesboro Road, which that's a throwback. The Cooker, great back in the day here in Nashville. A fellow server asked me to go out for a drink with her after the shift was over. I didn't want to go to the bar she wanted to go to and suggested we get beers from the gas station and hang out in the parking lot and talk. I bought a 12-pack of Miller High Life cans, which she did not appreciate. And then one of the cooks who saw us thought it would be funny to pay one of the working ladies, think pretty woman but not so pretty, to come up to us and pretend she knew me and that I owed her money. So the server I was with told me that was the worst date she'd ever been on. And looking back on it, I completely agree. It was the worst date.
I mean, but can you even count that as a date?
I mean,
that is,
went out for drinks. Just happened to be at a gas station parking lot.
Went out for, get by like better beer at the gas station.
Hey, man.
I love the
Sometimes you got to live the high life.
Yeah. The champagne of beers.
Well, I told my story earlier. I was in a restaurant and I was on a date with this girl. It was either 2012 or 2013, but the date lasted approximately 7 minutes at the restaurant. She was very rude to the waitress. Like, I'm talking exceedingly rude, to the point where you're not really, like, have you ever been with those people to the point where they're so rude you're not overly comfortable ordering food because of what you're afraid might happen to your food? That's what happened to me. I just said in the middle of it, yeah, this ain't gonna work. We got up and left, never even ordered. That was it.
Yeah, that stuff is totally not date related, but it makes me think of, for some reason today I'm thinking of my grandpa who told me Bill Russell's the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
He's the dude who you'd go, one time we were like at McDonald's and got our stuff and the guy gave us the food and he's like, "You're welcome," to the guy, like, just, all right, it's like, yeah, a teenage kid.
There,
yeah. It's a teenage kid, like the demanding of like the servers or whatever, be totally polite and,
Well, the thought of, hey, I'm a paying customer, so I can say or do anything I want to do to you, is a ridiculous thought. But it's more and more prevalent in our society.
Man, it is. Tell you what. And it's one of those things where if you've ever worked in a job like that, or even if you've ever worked for tips.
Or even if you're just like a halfway decent human
being. Well, that too. That's also a part. But yeah, like at least it should be real easy to have empathy if you've done any of those things. But yeah, regardless, give these people a break.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans and Truth texting in. My worst first date ever was, I picked up my date. We went to the Red Lobster for dinner, and we really couldn't spark up a conversation. She didn't seem very much interested. She kept answering her phone all night, and one of her friends showed up and sat down at the table with us, and I had more of a conversation and connection with her friend than I did with the person I was on the date with. To end, we're at the movies, and I was so bored with it, I fell asleep and never talked to her again after that. You know what's a bad sign on the date? When the friend gets called and they're sitting down at the table with you. That's not a good start.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, and the falling asleep during a movie.
Well, I mean,
that happens. I wonder what movie it was.
I don't know. That's a good question.
We had probably Funny People.
Wow.
Your hatred for that movie is strange. by the way,
Funny
earlier,
People made me go to sleep.
In case really? Anybody, when we had Corey Curtis on, made the reference to Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, you got it. But I'm actually still impressed that you've seen Ferris Bueller's Day
yes.
Off, Ryan.
Yes,
Bueller. That's when the kids try to get into the restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah. Bueller.
You're Abe Froman, Sausage King of Chicago. Come on.
So I was just very skeptical look.
I can't remember every single thing of every single movie that I've seen.
You've seen 11 movies. God.
It's more like 12, but.
Okay. Oh, man.
Like, for instance, like Amanda and I have started binge watching 24.
Jack
Robbie,
Bauer?
You'll appreciate that. Yeah. And I watched the first three seasons of 24 like 10 years ago. Robbie lent me his DVDs. I don't remember almost like anything of season one.
Yeah.
And Amanda's like, why don't you remember this or this? I'm like, do you know how many things have gone on in sure. the last 10 years? Like, I can't remember that this person was in, this season.
One of the greatest shows 24. Of all time, by the way.
Yeah, that's one that's on my list. The Wire is another one that I haven't watched. But yeah, 24, that's a miss on my part.
You know, we had Austin text in on the text line earlier, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking about his first date experience with his now wife showing up to a concert late without a phone, getting punched in the face, and now they've been married for 12 years.
That's beautiful.
No blood on that, but he did laugh, and she stormed out of the concert. So a rocky start to the relationship, but good on him for finding a way to rebound and kind of get back in there with it.
I want to know how he rebounded.
Yeah, like, how do you come back from that?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is. That's
just getting clocked in the mouth and saying, all right, I still love that girl. I'm coming back in here for more.
That's a great success story. It's the contrast to the cousins making out story
yes.
that we got.
Yeah, that was also good. We'll be taking your text all show long for Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road, 615-737-1037. 615-737-1025. When we come back, it's that time of the week. We'll be joined by our man Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.